God. And renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And renew a right spirit within me.
Create in me
a clean,
O God. Spirit,
renew a right spirit within me.
Lord, create in me
a clean heart, O God.
And renew
a right spirit within me.
Cast me not
away from thy presence, O Lord. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me.
Thank you for the introduction of the Bible study today again. And I want to thank God for bringing us together to start and to press on with this Bible study. I'd like us to please pray together. Let's pray. Let's turn to God together. Father in heaven, we thank you because you are being here with us. It is your good pleasure to give us the kingdom. We thank you that you have always stretched forth your mighty hand to reach out to us each time we call. Today again, we have come. The first cry in the heart of our singing team said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Lord, we ask that you will please pass through each one of our centers, each one of the platforms where your people are gathered, those that are gathering as a discipleship class, or those that are in the Bible study group of their local church, and those, oh God, who follow us on Zoom, those who follow us even on YouTube, those who come along only on their Facebook, Telegram, and other things, those that are following us in the local language, want to plead with you that you will visit all of us together. We ask, Lord, that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth that sanctifies, will begin to prepare our heart for your use. We are praying, oh God, that the things you want to do in our day, nothing will stop you from accomplishing it. And so as we go on now, we ask that your word be open to us and be made freely available in our hearts to the praise and glory of your name. In Jesus Christ's name we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. As our brother had already introduced, we are continuing with our study on what God looks for in his vessel. And by the grace of God, we have come through the section 1, and we started section 2 last week, where God looks at in the man he uses. And we started considering the matter of the heart. And this section was introduced to us with the second chapter, the sower sows the word. We saw that anytime God needs to do anything for the kingdom of God, it requires the sowing of the seed, the sowing of the word of God. And so before we go on today, last week we saw that if the sower that went out to sow is the Lord God himself, and the seed is casting, is the seed of life, is the incorruptible seed, very viable and very functional. If there's no fruitfulness, it will be that we should look at the condition of the soil. And we saw that in our study, whereas the sower is God, or those whom he has sent to go and sow his word, and the seed is the word of God. So the soil can be nothing else apart from the hearts into which the word of God had been sown. And so we saw that some, there was no result at all, and we began to study. So today we are going to now look into that parable very closely and spend time now to look at the first kind of heart, which we refer to as the wayside heart. I would like us to pick our scriptures very deliberately. We'll first read from the book of Matthew chapter 4. I think we should read from Matthew chapter 4, and you will help us pick it from verse 3. Mark chapter 4 from verse 3. We read it up to verse 9 in the first place, and then we go to verse 15. We go from verse 15 and pick 15 that I can read there. So let me ask Sister Masha, please, you will take the passage in Mark chapter 4. You read verse 4 to 9, and then you read verse 15 for us.
Okay. All right. So Mark chapter 4 from verse 4. And it happened as... Sorry?
You read from verse 3.
Sorry, from verse 3. Okay.
Yeah.
So Mark chapter 4 from verse 3. This is a New King James Version. It says, listen... Behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And so some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But the other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And then verse 15, and these are the ones, And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Amen.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. That's a Mark chapter 4 entry of the parable of the sower. And we started now to look at the meaning of that parable. Before we go on reading, I would like you to just note that while we are focusing on this parable, Jesus Christ himself said, if you don't understand this parable, how then will you understand all the parables? So it looks as if this parable is a very, very fundamental parable in understanding the principles of the kingdom of God. And that this parable is required for us to have insight onto what happens while the kingdom of God takes root in some places and the kingdom of God is dry in some other places. And Jesus Christ was bringing this parable of the sower in order to give instructions on what exactly takes place. Now, I want you to please, let's ask Sister Becky to pick Luke chapter 8 for us. You read Luke chapter 8, you read verse 5, and you read verse 12. Well, I wanted to read it all because it will be the same passage. But we want to see the emphasis in Luke chapter 8. Please take verse 5 and go straight down to verse 12.
Luke chapter 8, verse 5.
Yes.
A sower went out to sow his seeds, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rocks, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up and yielded a crop a hundredfold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He who have ears to hear, let him hear."
Yes.
Then his disciples asked him, saying,
"No, I want you to go now to verse 11 and 12.
Okay. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should listen and be saved. Amen.
Amen. He said, those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Thank you very much for these passages that we have read. First, we have read those passages to remind us, to refresh our mind, the story and the parable of the sower we started to discuss last week. One thing we say is that every time God is looking for a vessel to use, he has to sow a seed into that life. There is no man who is naturally useful to God until God has planted his own seed, the seed of his life, the new creation seed, the incorruptible seed of the word of God. You know, the Bible said that you know that you are born again, not of the corruptible seed of silver and gold, but of the incorruptible seed of the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So we know that the seed that must produce a kind of life that God will use can only come when that seed of the word of God is cast into a man's life. So we saw that we are to begin with, in becoming anything in the hand of God, is the sowing of the seed. If the seed is not yet cast into your life, there is no hope for any harvest. And that's why God, the Bible said, and the sower went out to sow. God is going out over and over again to sow in the seed of the word of God. And I want to say again with all very deep spirit of indebtedness, that today again God has come out. The sower has come out again to sow the seed, to cast in the seed that could create life, that could create a new Christian life in whosoever will hear. And God may have gathered you into this Bible study, or you are a chance listener who just passes and says, "What are they talking about?" And God is causing you to hear this. May I announce to you that the sower is the one going out to sow. And the seed is casting is the seed of the word of God, the incorruptible seed of the word of God. But now, today, we are now going to look at where the seed fell. Where the seed fell. In the parable, the Lord Jesus said, now the seed fell, you know, as we read either in the book of Mark chapter 4 or the book of Luke chapter 8 or the book of Matthew chapter 13. All the Gospels, they actually capture this important parable. Now, it said, as a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And what happened? It was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. So what we are about looking at today is what could make the word of God that has produced great results in other people's life. Why will it fall on my own life and it do not produce? Why will the word of God not be fruitful in our own lives, in our own time, in our own place, in our own family, and in our own congregation? And we're beginning to see that there may have been a matter, an underlying matter that has to do with the soil, that is the heart. So we saw the Lord beginning to speak into it. And before we begin to discuss, we're going to take a very quick introduction. We take the quick introduction from, now let me remind you that the Bible study outline we're using has been sent to all the platforms. I think, Brother Mark, you have announced that all the platforms, whether you are in any way in which you can just check all our links, the study outline will be going there for you on your Telegram, on your Facebook, on the, even on Zoom, if you want to download it, you will see it there. Wherever you can download this is available to you and is free for us to use to do our Bible study. We trust God that as long as we are running through this, what God looks for in his vessel, the study outline will be coming along. So we're going to read the study outline, and we're also going to read out of the book. So let me request that Brother Mark, you will start us off by reading the introduction of the Bible study outline, which is the Wayside Heart, and you are taking the introduction of it. Just the introduction.
Yes, sir. The Wayside Heart. Number one, an introduction. The last study provided a clear understanding of the integrity and infallibility of the Word of God. The study also shed light on the fact that the condition of a man's heart is the detriment factor, or determinant factor, if God's word must produce the desired fruit in the life of the man.
Yes.
This is because the word of God is God himself, and he is perfect, unchangeable, and incorruptible. In this study, we will dive deep into the first type of soil in the parable of the sower, the wayside heart, to fully understand its nature. We shall look unto the Lord to understand the key characteristics of the wayside heart, some of the dangers of possessing such a heart, and God's remedy and way out. You will personally need to pray again and again in the course of the study for a definite, fresh encounter with the Lord himself. And may the Lord grant us understanding, fresh insight for our own lives as we study together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that. Just for me to highlight the fact that as we come into this study, as we're looking very carefully on the type of soil in the parable of the sower, the wayside heart, the seed that fell on the wayside. There are a few things that we want to quickly note, but I want you to personally pray. And as we go on through this study, please pray again and again for a definite fresh encounter with the Lord himself. May the Lord grant each one of us understanding and fresh insights for our own lives as we study together, even as we have prayed in Jesus' name. Now, just to take it side by side, let's ask Sister Marsha to go now to the chapter 3 of What God Looks For. And you also will take the brief introduction of it before we get to the nature of the wayside heart. Can you pick it so that we can be going side by side as we take the book? You can just read through all passages. Read all the passages as it has been quoted as part of the introduction.
Okay. So chapter 3, the wayside heart. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. And that's Mark chapter 4, verse 4. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And that's Mark chapter 4, verse 15. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. And that's Luke chapter 8, verse 5. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. And that's Luke chapter 8, verse 12. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. And that's Matthew chapter 13, verse 4. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. And that's Matthew chapter 13, verse 19.
Thank you.
So right away, however, as the disciples came to Jesus privately to understand the meaning of this parable of the sower, the Lord did not mince words about the fact that the seed is the word of God. He made it very clear also that the soil into which the seed is sown is actually the hearts of men. So what the master is dealing with here is the heart, and particularly the condition of such a heart when the word of God arrives there. The condition in which the seed meets the soil determines whether the seed will produce fruit or die barren. I have deliberately referred to the various rendering of the parable in the three Gospels to emphasize and highlight the peculiar issues that each one of them brings out to us that point to the condition of the wayside heart.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I was going to make that note as well, that it is not for repetition that we are reading Mark, we are reading Luke, and we're reading Matthew on the same parable. It is because each one of the gospelers have painted the same parable, but with some very clear critical emphasis, that for those of us that are here for Bible study, it is very useful for us to look at it in such a detail that God is making it available to us. And that will form our discussion as we go on to look at the nature of the wayside heart. Now, the way we are going to be going on, we are going to first try to study from the Bible study outline. And as we do that, we'll return and read from the book along so that we can get all the fullness of the thoughts and the issues that God will have us deal with. Now, we have read Mark chapter 4, verse 4 already, And we have read verse 15. We've read it in King James. I think, Sister Marsha, you have read all those passages for us in the New King James or King James Version. But now I would like Brother Mark to help us read Mark chapter 4, verse 4, Mark chapter 4, verse 15. Can you read it from Amplified Classic? And Sister Becky, if you have a message, you will help us read verse 15, particularly from the word, from the message. That's Mark chapter 4, verse 4 and 15. Let's quickly do that. And then as we are going reading, because we have already read Luke chapter 8, verse 5 and verse 12, we will not read that now. But we will now go and ask Sister Marsha to repeat, to read for us Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. I think it should be verse 12 rather than verse 2.
Okay.
Yes. And then Psalm 119, verse 130. We'll return to Sister Becky to do that. Can we start?
Yes, sir. Mark chapter 4, we'll read verse 4 and 15 in the Amplified Classic. Verse 4, and as he was sowing, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Verse 15, the ones along the path are those who have the word sown in their hearts, but when they hear, Satan comes at once and by force takes away the message which is sown in them. Amen.
Let's take note of that. Wow. Satan comes along almost immediately and by force he snatch away from them the message which is sown in them. That's a very important matter to note, that the heart by the roadside is a heart that is bedeviled, is a heart that is being gagged by every force of darkness. And because the devil knows that the greatest thing that will become a damage to him is for the seed of the word of God to take root in any man's life. So that's how he fights. The God of this world fights so much that the truth will not take root. And Sister Becky, you want to read that for us in message, just verse 15 only. Mark chapter 4, verse 15.
Mark chapter 4, verse 15. Message translation. But the seed in the good earth, these are the good hearts who seize the word and hold on.
I want to read verse 15. Mark chapter 4, verse 15.
Sorry.
Yes.
Okay, they're grouped together. The seed, he says, some people are like the seed that falls on the hardened soil of the roadside. No matter, no sooner do they hear the word than Satan snatches away what has been planted in them.
No sooner they hear the word of God, Satan comes and snatches away what has been planted in them. They are the people whose heart is by the roadside. Thank you. I think the Hebrews 4, verse 2, that we were thinking it should be verse 12, is still verse 2. Please, let's read Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, Sister Marsha. Hebrews 4, okay. 2.
Okay, so Hebrews 4, verse 2, this is a New King James. It says, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Amen.
Okay. the word of God ever before it could mix with faith in their heart, it had been snatched away, so it could not profit them. So it's possible that somebody is hearing the word of God and it is not profiting him. It's not profiting her. And the reason is because ever before it will gain understanding, ever before it will enter and for God to do anything, Satan had already come by force to snatch it away. So the first question we are noting is, where are those people that hear the word of God and almost immediately they forget? It is not ordinary that you will remember, politics, you remember who's called during the World Cup, you remember all of that, you can tell all that story, but just that the word of God was preached to you, 5 minutes after, you can't remember what the preacher said. Your case is not ordinary. Satan is interested in who you become. And it comes by force. Sometimes I see people even hitting their head. I see to bring it back. I say, what did they preach? What did they preach? It has gone. Satan that does not want the seed to produce results. He does not want you to gain understanding at all. As soon as it came, it comes by force to snatch it away. That is the condition of some people's heart. And that's why we ask you to read it from the message. It says some people are like that. So when we are talking about the soil and the seed that fall by the wayside, we are talking about people. We are talking about people's heart condition. We are not just using this agricultural illustration and say they are talking about so and so. We are talking about you. We are talking about your heart. And every time that you hear the word of God before you leave church, you are forgotten. When you are dancing, when you are jumping, everything looks nice. But once the word of God comes in, 2 minutes after, everything has disappeared. I want you to know that there's something there. There's no way you can make progress in the purpose of God if the seed of the word of God is not finding space to produce results in your heart. You can be everywhere, but you are nowhere as far as God is concerned. The seed that produces the kingdom life, the seed that makes a man victorious, the seed that makes you a vessel usable in God's hand, is the seed that God is casting into your heart over and over and over again. And just before it will settle, the birds of the air have come to carry it and take it away. We call it the birds, but as we read in the word of God now, Jesus said actually it's Satan. So those birds that you are talking about, they are Satan that comes to pick away the word of God from the heart of a man on the wayside. Now, Sister Becky, are you ready now to read Psalm 119 verse 130 for us?
Yes, sir.
Yes, please read.
Psalm 119 verse 130.
Yes.
Entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple.
The entrance of your word giveth light. It gives understanding to the simple. So if a man does not have understanding when the word of God enters, what it means is that the enemy has come to pluck it. The enemy has snatched it away by force. Because if it enters your heart at all, it will bring light. It will bring understanding. The word of God has capacity to enlighten your understanding. But ever before it will land, Satan quickly intercepts it and take it away. Now, Brother Mark, please now read James 1, 22 to 25 for us. Read James chapter 1, verse 22 to 25 for us as we are taking an introduction of these characteristics of the wayside heart.
Yes, sir. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. This is the New King James Version. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Amen.
Whatever he does, he shall be blessed. Thank you. So if a man hears the word of God and does not do it, he deceives himself because immediately he forgets. So we're noting that these hearts that we're dealing with, this wayside heart or the heart on the road, the first thing we are noting about it, that it is a heart that is crowded with the flies, crowded with all those birds that are flying around. And what are they flying around to do? They want to pick anything precious that can change your life. They are not here to pick the news about politics. They are not here to pick the news about football. They are not here to pick the news about anything else. They know all of those things have nothing to do with your life, with your eternity. They can even fill you with that. You remember everything so much. But when it comes to the word of life that will change you, that will give you a new beginning, that will give you an inheritance among the saints, Satan said, let's not allow that seed to prevail on that man's heart. Let us not allow that girl to settle with that, because that will change our life. And so you are restless whenever the word of God comes. And we are saying that whosoever hears the word and does not even get ready to practice it is deceiving himself, because the enemy is coming immediately to pick it up. Where there is no understanding, he will not let anything settle with you. Now we are going to check, and we have checked that the heart on the road, two things we have seen now, is that it's by the roadside. And if it's the heart is by the wayside, the Lord Jesus said, whatever was sown on it, the ground itself is not conducive to take anything. It's not receptive enough. It does not have any form of understanding. So what we saw is that the birds of the air have come to pick it. No understanding at all. So it cannot grow. It cannot mix with faith in their hearts. So we cannot see any form of result. Now, I would like us to ask Sister Becky to read for us the wayside heart under the Bible study outline. That's the summary under section A, under number A, the heart on the road. Can you quickly read that for us, ma'am? Are you there?
You're muted, sister.
Can you unmute yourself?
Thank you. Okay. A heart on the road, or the nature, the characteristics of the wayside heart. Let us examine the characteristics of the and deposits of a wayside heart. A heart on the road, carefully.
A heart. We have read all those passages. Just go straight to the wayside heart.
The wayside heart is a heart so busy, distracted, and crowded with constant mental traffic to an extent that the word of God cannot sink in or take root. Though the ears hear the message, the heart never truly receives it. Wandering thoughts and trivial concerns move through his heart leaving no room for the word to take root. Idle talk, stray ideas, and restless thinking keep the mind cluttered. There is no quiet place to deliberately meditate in order to understand the word. And without understanding, the word cannot mix with faith and begin the work of transformation. Since the word of God is not understood by such a heart, the word remains on the surface. The seed lays bare on the road. Before it can ever attempt to penetrate the soil, the birds of the air, Satan himself, snatches away the seed. The enemy knows the power of God's word and works hard to block our understanding, because a good understanding of the word will effectively produce a fruitful life. The wayside heart easily remembers politics, sports, and trivial conversations, yet quickly forgets the scripture. It hears but cannot do, like someone who looks in a mirror and immediately forgets his own reflection. Do you have such a heart? Do these descriptions represent the happenings inside your own heart? Have distractions robbed you of the fruitfulness that God intends? If so, you must pray for God to break up the hardened ground and give you a heart that receives, understands, and obeys his words.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. We are looking at that heart on the road. We say the wayside heart is so busy, distracted, crowded with constant mental traffic, to an extent that the word of God cannot sink in or take root. So, as we are going on looking at this, we are taking it gradually, but I just want to check, is your heart a condition like that? Are you so full of many ideas that the only idea that has no root in your heart is the word of God that changes life? You are filled with all junks, but the only treasure that will have made your life a blessing is the one you have no space for. It will be a very important matter for you to please pray and say, Lord, change this kind of heart for me. As we are studying and looking forward, I'm trusting that the Spirit of God will continue to shine light on that situation. Let's ask Sister Marsha now to go back and now help us to read from the book. We are now reading page 52, The Nature of the Wayside Heart. And you want to take the first point. It is a heart on the road. Can you quickly read that to us?
Okay. So the nature of the wayside heart. This is the first kind of soil on which the seed fell, and the seed is unfortunate that falls here. Let us begin by studying quite a few things that Jesus will have us note about the nature and the peculiarities of the wayside heart. So number one, it is a heart on the road. Whether it's called a heart on the wayside, or along the path, or by the edge of the road, one thing is common. It is a heart on the road where traffic is heavy. The seed sown into such a heart cannot get embedded into the soil of the heart. The word of God does not stick into the heart, even though the ear has heard it and received it well. There are too many things coming and going in and out of that heart, and there is no space for the seed to enter in. Such a wayside heart is full of wandering thoughts. Every stray thought, every idle talk, and every unfounded idea seems to have free passage in the wayside heart. That heart is ever clustered, ever busy. It gives no room for any serious meditation to gain ground. So the word sown cannot mix with faith in that heart.
So please, no seed. Wait, as Marsha goes on reading, if you also have your book, I want you to please take note and mark issues as it is jumping at you. Very important, because we are studying. We are looking at what God looks at in the man, the vessel he uses. And we saw that if God will ever use a man, he has to cast in the seed. Before I can be useful in the hand of God, the seed of the word must have been cast. It must have worked. It must process my life for me to be useful. And if the only instrument that God uses to raise men, to prepare them, to make them right, as we read last week from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, it's the comprehensive equipment that God uses to make his man and his vessel thoroughly furnished and made ready for every branch of his work. If that is the only thing that God uses, and now my heart is not able to receive it, you can see that I'm putting myself at a very, very terrible situation. So, sister, go ahead now. No seed.
No seed naturally grows until it is embedded in the soil and mixed up with the soil for germination to take place. The first challenge is that this heart did not even allow the word of God to gain entrance for understanding to take place. There is no deliberate meditation on the word to make the heart understand what was sown into it.
Okay.
As it fell on the heart, so the birds of the air came and devoured it. And these birds of the air are not just physical birds flying here and there. The Lord Jesus said it is the wicked one, the devil, the devourer that came to devour the seed ever before it could begin its internal and eternal work within the heart. Satan, if he has his way, will not give the word any chance to bring about any fruit.
This is
the devil.
This is what the Lord Jesus himself had to say. And not just the best of the air, is the devil, the wicked one, the adversary, who is going everywhere looking for someone to devour. And if there's anything precious you quickly want to pick away, it's the seed that will make you victorious, the seed that will make you more than conqueror, the seed that will make you to actually become, you know, an instrument that will scatter the kingdom of Satan. Please take note as we go ahead. Go ahead, my dear sister.
The devil knows the potency of the word of God. He knows wherever it is allowed to grow its root and blossom, it will become a mighty tree producing fruit for the kingdom of God. He therefore attacks the word to prevent it from gaining deep entry into the heart.
Yes.
Satan may not prevent hearing, though he oftentimes creates distraction for people so that they do not even hear what the Spirit is saying. But the truth is that he is more concerned with blocking the heart from gaining understanding. The word that is not understood cannot shoot down its root into the heart as to produce a life-changing effect on anyone.
Yes.
Do you have a heart that is on the road? Does a traffic of ideas, thoughts, and several issues occupy your heart to the extent that you cannot spend a moment to meditate on the word of God as to allow it mix with faith in your heart? Are you so distracted that you easily forget whatever you hear of God's word? Whereas other stories, discussions about politics, arguments about sports, and other such mundane things stick so strongly and so easily to your heart, the word of God that is the seed of life and of the kingdom of God oftentimes cannot find a tiny space of thought for you to clearly understand it before you forget it. The person who hears the word and does not do it is like one who looks at himself in a mirror and straight away forget how he looks. This is a situation of the heart on the road. It is a hearer, but it is never able to become a doer of the word. Is that your situation too? Is this the kind of heart you bear about? What benefit has this wayside heart brought to you over the years carrying it about? Do you need to pray about this?
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Masha. Do you not need to pray about this? So we go now to the next point, and we're looking at the heart that tramples on the Word of God. A heart that tramples on the Word of God. Now we'll go back to the outline, and to deal with that, we'll pick our passages again. Luke chapter 8, verse 5. This time we're going to read it from Living Bible. Luke 8, verse 5. Pastor Mark, do you have the Living Bible? Or is it Amplified you want to read for us?
Luke 8. I have Living Bible. I have Living Bible, sir.
Okay, please help us with Living Bible. Luke chapter 8. I think we have read, no, we have not read Luke 8, 5 in Amplified version. So let's ask Sister, okay, you can read it too. If
yes,
you
sir.
Have, yeah, please try to read it too for us.
I have Amplified Classic. I have Amplified Bible. This, it's asking for the Amplified Classic, so.
Yes, yes.
All right. Luke chapter 8, verse 5 in the Amplified Classic. It says, a sower, or let's see, yes. Verse 5, a sower went out to sow seed. As he sowed, some fell along the traveled path and was trodden underfoot. And the birds of the air ate it up. And then the Living Bible puts it like this. A farmer went out to his field to sow grain. As he scattered the seed on the ground, some of it fell on a footpath and was trampled on. And the birds came and ate it as it lay exposed. Amen. Mm.
As it laid exposed, they came and picked it up. Now you are reading for us, Sister Becky, you will read Isaiah 66, verse 2 for us. Isaiah 66 and verse 2. There are some versions they have lifted there, but you can read from the King James or the New King James. And then we'll ask Sister Masha if she has the CEV, Contemporary English. Can you try to read it for us? Isaiah 66, verse 2.
Amen.
Yes.
The Gentiles shall see your righteousness, and all kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name.
You are reading Isaiah 60. I want Isaiah 66, verse 2.
I keep doing it. I'm sorry.
No problem. Isaiah 66 and verse 2.
For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word.
Who trembles at my word? Who trembles at my word? Is there a way the CEV has put it? Yes.
So Isaiah 66, verse 2, the Contemporary English Version says, I have made everything. That's how it all came to be. I, the Lord, have spoken. The people I treasure most are the humble. They depend only on me and tremble when I speak.
When I speak, they tremble rather than trample my word. Thank you. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 6. Can we ask Brother Mark to read that again? Matthew 7, 6. And we'll now go back to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Sister Marsha, you try to read that again. Matthew 7:6.
Verse 6 says, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." My goodness. The King James says, "Tear you in pieces."
And tear you in pieces. That's it. Do not give that which is holy to the dogs. And do not throw your pears before the swine. All right, thank you. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 now.
Okay. Is it 12 or 2? Because last time it was 2. Is 12?
Yeah, it's 12 now.
It is 12, okay. Yes. Okay, so Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. This is in the Amplified Classic.
Right.
It says, "For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, soul, and the immortal spirit, and of joints and marrow, of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart." Amen.
Thank you very much. So we're looking at this wayside heart. See the kind of thing that the Bible says, when the word of God comes to it, it comes on the roadside, so it was trampled upon and exposed. It was not received and buried inside the soil. The soil is too grand, the ground is too overstepped that the seed could not be planted in. And so when the enemy saw the birds of the air, they came and just picked it. And I can just imagine how the birds, or even ordinary chicken in our local villages, how they go about pecking. And they just picked out that seed and ate it and went away. So we saw that the roadside heart, one of the things that the Bible says about it is that it does not just receive the word, it tramples upon it. And as we read the scripture, Isaiah 66 said, "Unto whom will I look? The man that trembles at my word. The man of a contrite spirit that takes my word seriously and trembles at it." Now we can see what the word of God can do. God's word is God's treasure. He said, "Don't cast it before the dogs. Otherwise they will trample on it and they will bite you, they will rend you into pieces." We are seeing that the word of God, the greatest treasure, and God sent his word and he heals them. We have seen God do so much work by sending forth his word. But when it comes to the roadside heart, it's trampled upon as if it means nothing. It is treated so lightly, so uselessly. And of course, the devil is waiting for someone to quickly devour. He sees that as an opportunity to quickly take over. So again, this day as we are studying, all I'm asking is that does your heart trample upon the word of God? Or do you tremble each time you hear the word of God? I have seen several people in scriptures that when the word of God comes to them, instead of them to tremble at it, they get annoyed. They get annoyed. They even try to imprison the preacher that brought the word of God to them. That's why they didn't end well. Are you there whenever the word of God is coming to you? All that matters to you is to argue and argue and argue. And your argument is not for knowledge. Your argument is just to distract the word of God away and for your heart to remain, you know, untouched. What are you arguing about? We're talking about what will release you for eternity. And yet you are so full of ideas, intellectual debates that can take you anywhere, nowhere. So we're going to take the summary from that point, Brother Mark. You will read the summary under that point number B as we are going on.
Yes, sir. The heart that tramples on the word of God.
Mm.
The wayside heart is a heart that is hardened and overfamiliar with the word.
Mm.
It tramples on the word rather than receiving the same. It treats the scripture as common, subjecting it to human opinions, jokes, intellectual debate, and personal ambition. When not treasured, the word becomes powerless in the heart.
Mm.
Conviction fades. The conscience gets dulled, and preaching loses its life. Wow. Preaching God's... Yes, sir.
Mm.
Wow. Preaching God's word as mere stories or human ideas, using the pulpit for self-promotion or financial gains, twisting the scripture to suit personal desires or circumstances, or taking verses out of context to impress or manipulate listeners are all indications of trampling on the word of God.
These are all indications of trampling upon the word of God. And I want to say, you cannot go far in becoming a vessel that God can entrust himself to, particularly to entrust his oracles to your life, when you are a man who only tramples upon it. You subject it to human opinions. You treat it as mere jokes, intellectual debate, and personal ambition. When you did not treasure the word of God, the word becomes powerless in your own heart. Conviction fades. But it's much more terrible what my brother read in that last paragraph. That when you preach God's word as mere stories or a mere human ideas, when you use the pulpit for self-promotion and financial gains, when you twist the scripture to suit your personal desires or circumstances, or you take verses out of context to impress or manipulate listeners, all of these are indications of trampling on the word of God. And God will not take it kindly. He said, cast not your holy pearls before the swine. So please finish the summary you are reading before we get to point number six.
Yes, sir. If you are the type that approaches the word of God without prayer or dependency on the Holy Spirit, you are simply trampling on the word of God. While the word of God is living, sharp, and able to expose the heart, it will only bear fruit in the lives of those who honor the word with reverence, faith, and obedience.
Yes.
Do you honor the word of God in your heart? Has the word stopped in your heart casual with the scripture? Do you mix God's word with human wisdom? Do you trust scripture to fit your lifestyle? Deliberately examine yourself and press moment for God's divine intervention in your life. Amen.
Thank you very much. That emphasis that is drawn is critical for us to take note. Say, do you honor the word of God in your heart? Has the word stopped piercing your heart? Have you developed a thin skin against the word of God now? Have you become casual or careless with the scripture? And do you mix God's word with human wisdom so as to lose its power? Do you adjust scripture just to fit your own lifestyle that is not congruent with the word of God? You need to deliberately examine yourself and pray at this moment. Now, again, as we said we will do, let's take that section from the book itself, and we get Sister Masha to try to read it for us before we see whether we can press on from there. That point number two. Yes.
Okay. So this is page 55, number two. It is a heart that tramples on the word. A sower went out to sow seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the traveled path and was trodden underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. And that's Luke chapter 8, verse 5. The next thing to note about this heart is that it is a highly traveled path. Here the seed of the word of God is easily trampled upon underfoot by men. It is not a heart that trembles at the word, but one that tramples on it. It subjects the word of God to human standpoints. It brings the word of God under the feet and ideologies of men and treats it as trash rather than treasure. Once the word that falls into a man's heart is not treasured as an invaluable investment whose effect is enduring and unfading, so that it keeps, preserves, and perseveres with it, the only thing it will do to the word is to trample on it as if it were a mere theory. Men who speak lightly of the word of God, making riddles and jokes out of it, and placing it on the same pedestal as what other human beings have said, or treating it as a mere theory for empty brainstorming, are only trampling upon the living word of God. While the word of God can withstand every and any intellectual argument, and itself even makes for a brilliant academic analysis, if we treat the word of God at that level, we have only trampled upon it. The principles of...
Masha, don't go yet. Don't go yet. Look at what we are raising here. If the word of God only falls into your heart, if it is not treasured as an invaluable investment whose effect is enduring and unfading, so that you can keep it, your heart keeps it, preserves it, and perseveres with it, the only thing your heart will do to that word is to trample on it as if it were a mere theory. So the trouble is that the danger of trampling on the word of God is so overwhelming that any time you refuse to respond to the word of God, you cannot be neutral about it. You have trampled upon it. Because you will try to explain it away. You try to release your conscience. You try to relax the word of God as if it didn't mean so much. And any attempt to reduce the impact of God's word on your heart because you are not willing is an attempt to trample upon the word of God. So as we go ahead, two things I just want you to check is, what are you doing? What is your heart doing with the word of God? The reason why you have not made so much progress as far as the purpose of God for your life is concerned could be this matter, could be your attitude to the word of God. Even if you are taking the word of God only for a mere intellectual argument, and you want to make a brilliant thesis out of it, like I meet so many students of theology, instead of trembling at the word of God, they trample on it because they think they are doing analysis, they are criticizing the living oracles, and they are making jest of it. And I'm afraid that such people have ended up dry. They went to seminary, but they came out as an asymmetry, because life has been stuffed out of their lives because of their attitude to the word of God. No matter your scholarship, the word of God stands in a class of its own with an inspiration from the Almighty. And you need to bend down and let the word of God mix with faith in your heart so that you can be blessed thereby. Yeah, Masha, please go ahead.
The principles of God's word living, and they transcend human reasoning. It requires the opening of the eyes of our understanding, and it comes by revelation, an unveiling of the heart. Understanding the precept of God's word brings light into the dark corners of life. It is the beginning of real wisdom.
Yes.
God's word must be expressed with spiritual words, not just words of human wisdom or mere high-sounding intellectualism. When God's word is taken away from the realm of revelation and its spiritual inspiration, it is trampled upon. You do despite to the word when you approach it as a common literature to be studied without prayer or seeking the help of the Holy Spirit. All who preach the word as mere letter, ordinary stories or words of men have done nothing but trample on the word. Many preachers on the pulpit today only trample on the word of God as they intersperse the holy word with their own wisdom or even quotes from mere philosophers. God's word is not just mere philosophy or a way of explaining difficult concepts. It is the wisdom of God for everything we must do on the earth.
May God has understanding about that. Please don't go yet. He said many preachers on the pulpit today only trample on the word of God as they intersperse the holy word with their own wisdom or even quotes from mere philosophers. God's word is not just a mere philosophy or a way of explaining difficult concepts. It is the wisdom of God for everything we must do on the face of the earth. And we must accord it that honor as to come with trembling, pleading with the Holy Spirit who gave the inspiration to bring the inspiration back to our lives. God has lifted his word, Sister Masha.
God has lifted his word even above his name. How can men like us treat it as a thing we can subject to human analysis before we cast our faith on it? Believing God and taking him at his word is the only way to honor and treasure his word. It is only when we would find the blessing in that word and by it bring forth fruit. Now take a moment to check your heart. What honor does your heart accord the word of God each time it comes to you? Have you become so over familiar with hearing the word to the extent that it does not evoke any fear and trembling with you anymore? Have you simply piled up all the truth you've heard in your archives and gone about boasting that you know the word? Do you disdain the preachers and sit back to mark their grammar and criticize their presentation rather than listen with rapt attention to the word that God is sending to your heart? The preacher may stammer, but God's word itself does not stammer or stagger in dealing with the hidden issues of the heart of any man. It is quick, living, and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the heart to the bones and the marrow. It divides the soul and the spirit and discerns the hidden thoughts of the heart. How do you handle the word that it does not pierce your heart again? What did you do to your inner conscience that the word of God does not pierce through it again? Are you a preacher who takes the word of God for granted as you live recklessly in sin but pretend to preach the truth? Are you one who only short measures the word to achieve your own quiet ambition to make money by collecting spurious offerings? You are simply trampling the word. Do you change the word to suit your present situations because you are unable to live up to the standard of God's demand? Do you take a text out of its context to allow you to say what is in your heart and daze the ignorant in the congregation? Friend, you are trampling upon the word, and you cannot go far with God that way.
You go far with God that way. As we are going through this, my cry is that you will know that we are doing all this, we are doing this analysis, analytical study Because we are looking at what does God look at in the vessel he uses? What is it that God is checking with me, with my heart, before he will cast his holy pearls? Why is God not able to lavish his grace upon our lives? Is our heart the kind that does not treasure the word of God, that does not treasure the truth? So let's take the third point that we can take today about this. I'm afraid that we might not be able to finish our study today on this wayside heart. There's quite so many issues there. But I'm trusting that wherever we stop, it will be good enough for us to be able to pray together. Now let's go to the next point. A heart that is vulnerable to Satan. That's point number C in our Bible study outline. So we return to Bible study outline, and we now look at that heart that is on the wayside. We say it's a heart that is vulnerable to Satan. Satan always have access to it so very easily. Can we quickly check? We'll read the scriptures now. I think we should move away from Mark 4:15. We have read it over and over again. And we have noted that Satan comes to pick the seed from it. Well, let's read Romans 10, verse 17, Sister Becky. And Sister Becky, please try Romans 10, 17. Brother Mark, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9. Sister Marsha, John 8, 31 to 32. Colossians 3, 16. Sister Becky, again, if you can get there. And 5:18, Brother Mark. Let's try to go quickly. We have left Mark 4:15 because we have read it almost every time.
Amen.
Yes.
Romans 10:17. So yes. Then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Mm. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9.
Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. This is the New King James Version.
Yes.
For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen.
Right. All right. John 8, 31 to 32.
So John 8, 31 to 32, the New King James, it says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen.
Thank you. Colossians 3:16.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord.
Thank you very much. And 5:18, Ephesians.
Ephesians 5:18, and do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, so we're reading these passages because we wanted to see what is it that the devil attacks on a roadside heart. And the first thing we saw as we read from that passage in Mark chapter 4, verse 15, we saw that the enemy, the adversary, comes to take away the word. What is the reason why he would take the word? In Romans 10, we said faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So if the word of God does not come to a man's heart and mix there with faith, faith cannot grow out of that heart. And if a man cannot believe, how can he have access to all the finished work of Christ on the cross. Said, the life I live in the flesh now, I live it by the faith of the Son of God. But faith only comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. It is as we teach the word of God very consistently and deliberately, and it mixes with faith in a man's heart, that they have experiences of the new life. It is when they have the experience of the new creation. It is how they have the experience of their healing, their deliverance. So, you know, Satan knows that this is what will cause faith to grow in a man's heart. Let's quickly take it out. Because without the word, without hearing the word, there's no faith. And Ephesians say, by faith we are saved through grace. It is not by work. Nobody can boast. So the only means of deliverance, the only means of salvation is faith, which comes by the word of God, by hearing the word of God. That's why we cannot say whether people hear the word of God, no, they will be saved. No, they will not be saved. God has ordained that it is by the preaching of the word of God that the seed of the kingdom, the seed of his life, will be sown into the heart of men. And if that is sown, and the enemy quickly got a way of picking it up, you know that he has got what he's looking for. So we saw the heart on the roadside, a heart that is unkempt, a heart that is vulnerable to Satan, a heart that the devil can just break in and out at will anytime, a heart that is not guarded. Whereas the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. But we now see a roadside heart that is by the roadside, is on the road actually. Anybody can go there. All kind of traffic are going there, as we said. And that does not allow anything to take root. Colossians said, let the word of Christ dwell in your heart richly in all wisdom. In all wisdom. So you are filled with joy, you are filled with singing, you are filled with psalms, because the word of God is dwelling in your heart very, very richly. So we are seeing that this heart that is vulnerable to Satan cannot actually go far in whatever God would have wanted to do. That's where the condition of that heart has come to become a limitation. So let's quickly check. Can we take the summary under that section C? Let's ask Sister Becky, can you read from that section, that number C? The faith that saves is born only from believing the word of God. Can you start from them?
Yes, sir. The faith that saves is born only from believing the word of God. Salvation is by grace through faith, never by works or by keeping the law. The only way we can please God is by our faith. And faith itself comes from hearing, receiving, and acting on God's word. Believing God is not just a brain-level acknowledgement of who God is. It involves accepting his word as the only truth and living by the word without doubting his promises. God accomplished his work of creation by his word. Healing and transformation are only possible through the anointed word of God. However, salvation cannot occur unless the word heard produces faith and obedience. As a matter of fact, those who believe Jesus because of his miracles were required to continue in his word in order to become the true disciples and experience freedom.
Yes, that's what John 8 says, verse 31 and 32 says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Yes, go ahead.
This precisely is where the wayside heart fails. Satan quickly snatches the word away before the word takes root in the heart of the hearer, and produces faith, salvation, or sanctification. Such hearts cling to the shell of the doctrine, the letter of Christ, while denying the power of the word. The enemy knows that the seed of the word carries kingdom-creating power. So he aborts the process by removing the seed before it can take root. Believers must therefore guard and preserve the word sown into the soil, their hearts. The birds of the air, referring to the agents of darkness, seek to devour the word not only from the hearts of new converts, but also from the hearts of preachers. When a preacher has a wayside heart, the message loses substance.
Loses substance?
The seed of life is gone, leaving only empty stories that cannot produce kingdom fruit.
Thank you very much, Sister Becky. We are noting here that, and Satan does not fear any man. If you don't keep your heart from the roadside, Satan will come and attempt. There are birds of the air. Those are his flying demons. They want to snatch the word of God from you and replace it with empty stories. Referring to the angels of darkness, they seek to devour the word, not only from the hearts of new converts, but also from the hearts of preachers. I want you to please check what is going on in your heart. Now, as I'm watching our space, can we ask Marsha to now go to page 58 and help us pick number 3, the heart that will not believe.
Okay.
The heart that will not believe.
Okay, so number 3, it is a heart that would not believe. Faith that saves only comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. By grace we are saved through faith. It is not of works, lest anyone should boast. No one is justified and declared righteous by the work of keeping the law. It is all by faith. It is as we repose our faith in what God has done for us in Christ Jesus that we partake in all of these blessings. No one can actually please God without faith, and God does not walk with any man who has not first believed him. But believing God is not a vague thing of mental conjecture. We believe God when we hear his word and accept it as the truth and the way to live. We believe God when we do not stagger at his promises as revealed to us in his word.
Now, Sister Masha, please, can you go over that paragraph again, that highlighted paragraph? Because it gives a very clear issue that we don't want any of our brothers or sisters to miss here. Yes, go over it again, Sister Masha.
No one can actually please God without faith. And God does not walk with any man who has not first believed him. But believing God is not a vague thing of mental conjecture.
It's not a mental conjecture.
Yes. We believe God when we hear his word and accept it as the truth and the way to live. We believe God when we do not stagger at his promises as revealed to us in his word.
That's when we know we are having an effective and a conquering faith. You only believe God as we have come to hear his word, believe it, and accept it as the truth. But without such a faith, it is impossible for any man to please God. Please go ahead, sister.
Meanwhile, when God wants to heal, he sends his word. The entire world was created and called into existence by the word of God. Unless the word that we hear leads us to believe in God and acting on his truth, we cannot be saved. Even those who saw the miracles of Jesus and believed would not be entrusted with anything unless they continue in the word. You are only my disciples indeed if you continue in my word, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Is Christ's insistence on those who came to believe him as they saw his miracles. This is one matter that this wayside hearts have omitted. The devil quickly comes to take away the word sown in their heart, lest it releases faith in them to believe and be saved. He does not allow God's word to produce the faith that brings men into genuine salvation and sanctification before stealing it away from their heart. So they are often left to cling to the empty shell letter of the word and hold to a form of doctrine, but they have denied the power of the word. Satan would not allow God's word to produce the faith that brings men unto genuine salvation and sanctification before stealing it away from their heart. God's word is the seed that produces the kingdom life. Everywhere God intends to grow his kingdom, he must cast in the seed of the word.
Yes.
The devil also knows that the power of the seed is the kind he cannot contain if it is allowed to germinate and shoot forth its root of faith in the hearts of men. He therefore quickly aborts the kingdom process by taking away the seed from the hearts of such believers whose hearts are on the wayside. Every effort the enemy makes to take away the word from the heart is the bane of the heart on the wayside. He actually does everything to snatch away the word that is sown in that heart. Those who will bring forth fruit for the kingdom must also be deliberate in preserving the word sown into their hearts. They must garrison their hearts to keep the word and not let the birds of the air, the vultures of this present darkness, snatch away the word from them. These birds, the agents of darkness, do not only seek to snatch the word from new converts, they seek to devour the true word even from the hearts of preachers. When a preacher backslides to the point of carrying a wayside heart, the result is the same, and you can easily recognize them on the pulpit. Such have lost the substance of the message. They only parade themselves about with empty stories. The seed of life is gone, and their message cannot result in the growth of the kingdom lifestyle. If we do not dig deep to keep the word in our hearts, the enemy will not fail to attempt to devour the seed that is left on the surface. And believing and living by the word of God is not possible if the word that brings faith has been plucked away. These men and women of old, both in scriptures and church history, who are said to be full of faith, are always also said or portrayed to be full of the word of God. To be filled with the Spirit is synonymous with being filled with the word of God. Let the word of God dwell richly in your heart in all wisdom is the injunction to all who would make progress in the kingdom of God and become fruitful. Amen.
That is why drawing in the outline, you see us refining back to that passage that is dealing with Colossians 3:16, Ephesians 5:18, to point to the fact that it's only as the word of God takes maximum space in our heart that our faith can actually grow to become what God ordains it to be. Now, I'm looking at our space. Brother Mark, I think maybe it's better for us to stop at this point for today so that when we come next, we shall now look at the peculiar dangers of the wayside heart. We're now going to look at the peculiar dangers. So it means we'll be starting with number 3 in the Bible study outline, and then we'll be starting with page 60 in the book itself, trusting that God will see us through. There are not plenty again, but it's because of the space of time that we have left that I thought we shouldn't rush this. So let's see how the Lord will be helping us as we gather back here over there, but we have taken sufficient. If you want to chew, we have looked at something that is critical. There's no how God will want to work with you if he cannot cast in the seed of his word into your heart and it will germinate. Faith only comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if your heart is already the kind that tramples on the word of God, the kind that does not care about the word of God, if it's vulnerable to Satan, if it's a heart that does not believe, it's a heart that is full of distraction. We say the traffic on that heart is so high because it's a heart on the road. I want to check with you as we pray now. What is the condition of your heart? Is your heart right with God? Is your heart on the road? Could that be the reason why you are vague in your experience? Could that be the reason why all kind of doubts, they are always strifing all your heart? Could that also be the reason why, you know, all kind of wandering thoughts, the traffic is so heavy that there's nothing you can concentrate on? Are you so worried with all kind of thoughts that there's not a little thought to plant the word of God in your heart? I believe God wants to do something about it today. I would have said, let's leave it till when we come next week. But no. No. What God can do today, why do you postpone it till next week? God said, a new heart will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you. I can circumcise that heart again. That's what God is saying. I'll take away from you the heart of stone, and I'll put within you the heart of flesh. If you will join us to cry to God, because we are realizing that the heart of the matter is the heart. And Satan himself has located that the heart of the matter is the heart. And he now knows that it is the seed of the word of God that changes men. And I want to tell you, there is no man that God cannot change if his word can be allowed to enter. There is no how difficult you have been. I have seen notorious sinners. I've seen them repented very, very, very powerfully under the influence of the word of God. I have seen marriages that were on the point of collapse. I see the word of God turn it around, and those marriages are doing well now. Even I hear some sort of testimony 2 days ago. So God is able, but the instrument he uses to change men is the word of God. If the word of God is now unable to penetrate, and the adversary, the devil, the birds of the air, Satan and his agents, they come quickly and pick it from your heart. Where will your faith come from? Where will your faith come from? Where will the life of the kingdom, where will it break forth from? That's why you are so peripheral. That's why you are so, you know, superficial somewhere there. Nothing. God is standing amidst today, and he wants to give, turn things around. Wants to visit you personally, wants to change your story. And as we pray together, wherever you are, whether you are in a class, whether you are alone, whether you are in the family, or whether you are with some friends, whether you're on YouTube or you're on Telegram by yourself, whichever one you are, I believe God is speaking to you. He's sowing. The sower is sowing the word again today. Don't let it pass. Don't let it go. And there may be some, yes, you say, no, my heart has not been on the roadside. It has just started. You say, no, I know how God used to speak to me, but now the word has finished. The word of God has now become like a newsletter to you now. Don't you know that something has ravaged your heart? You will lift it up before God and say, Lord, do something to my heart. It looks as if the enemy is digging some trenches into my heart to steal, to kill, to destroy. That seed that was beginning to germinate in my life, I want to pluck it out and quickly run away with it. Lord, touch my heart again. Change my heart again. Give me another beginning. And it's possible that, yes, today God allow you to join this Bible study. And you've been wondering, why is it that anytime I hear anything from the Bible, I forget? And it has not allowed your life to take any shape. I cannot say you're even born again. Because many things you say you will not do again is what you are doing. Your heart is so on the road. You are so distracted. You are seeing here, you are seeing here, you are seeing here. But the only thing you cannot remember is the word of God. It is time for God to visit you. It is time for God to do a new thing in your life, even today. And as I bow in prayer together with you, and wherever you are, please talk to God directly. Open your mouth to the Lord and let God do us a miracle. And when God has visited you, you will know. You know that the day star has visited you from on high. He's going everywhere, seeking whom he wants to use. God is looking for who to help, who to bring up. And I believe you are one of them today. Let God have his way with you. Welcome him and say, Lord, I receive your word into my heart and I will not allow it to be lost again. Please have your way with me. Shall we pray together, please? Let's pray. Please talk to God for yourself. Express it to God as it is in your heart. Speak it in your local language as it may be convenient for you. You don't need to pray so much like a religious person. Just tell God as you are feeling. Tell God, my heart needs a change. I need a heart surgery. I have been on the road all along. Traffic of this world has always filled my heart. I can argue, debate until I'm tired, but nothing of the word of God can stay in my heart. Lord, touch me, touch my heart, and make me whole again. Touch my heart and do something new with me. Thank you, Father. Thank you because you are here to hear us. As many as our friends who are praying, as many as our brothers who are seeking your face, as many of our sisters that are saying, look at me, my heart is always scattered. Lord, this day we ask, stretch forth your hand. You say, a new heart will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you. Lord Jesus, please step into this life. Lord Jesus, take your space in their heart. It is for their sake you went to Calvary. It is for their sake you poured out your own life, that their heart may be renewed, that they may have a new heart to walk with. A new heart will I give you, a heart that is able to not trample on the word of God, but tremble at the truth. Let your heart become their heart today. Lord Jesus, please step into these lives and give them a testimony of what Christ can do. Thank you for hearing our prayer. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen.